Fred. This is just a subject that anymore today just usually isn't dealt with because of how our society has gone. This was prompted by my reading an article that an individual had written regarding almsgiving. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, "Let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing." And to illustrate that, he picked the idea of like people, he said, who get dressed up for church. It's like putting on a display and doing it for everyone to see. Now, the problem with his illustration is that he made an assumption he has no right to do, and that is what the motive of a person who dresses up to go to church is. And so I proceeded from that point to emphasize that last week's message was not so much about what the item of garment a person was wearing, like a shirt or slacks or tie, but it was really a message that had to do with motive. And in life, it is common to dress appropriate for an event. You would not see me dressed like this to mow the lawn. You would not see me dressed like this to paint. Nor would you see me come to church in my painting clothes. It isn't that I couldn't, it's not appropriate to the event. Second thing I pointed out and developed was that in coming before God, okay, and that's what we understand church to be, we're not just coming before me, we're coming before God. And in coming before God, one would expect to do their best. You remember I pointed out that my best clothing doesn't hold a candle to Donald Trump's best clothing, okay? And so when he goes someplace, he wears his best. When I go somewhere, I wear my best. And so, again, coming before God is to do our best. And going to church is indeed like going before God. Now, frequently when this subject is dealt with, 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7 is quoted. And that's the verse that says, God looketh on the heart, man looketh on the outward appearance. And that is indeed a true verse. It's just not that it's completely applicable to this subject, though it is true. God looks on the heart. And so there are many Bible verses, and we're going to look at them tonight, that talk about motives and intentions, why we do things. Okay, by this point, somebody may be thinking, well, nobody's going to tell me how to dress. I'll wear what I want to wear. Did you hear me tell you what to wear? You see, you became defensive. And that lets me know that what I'm about to say in tonight's message might be applicable to yourself. You'll have to determine that. I said might be. How do I know what's going on in your mind and heart? But I do proclaim that pride can be involved in wearing what I refer to tonight as dress-down clothing, the same as pride can be involved in dressing-up clothing. It is possible for a person who wears dress-down clothing to do it with just as much pride as the individual who dresses up. You say, how's that? Depends on the motive. Right. It depends on the motive of what you're doing. The same way as what is the motive for my dressing the way I am? To make myself look good? It's going to take more in clothing. Okay. No, I'm not wearing it to make it look good. I want you to think well of me, But I'm not going to achieve that by my clothing any more than you are going to achieve by dressing down. Make yourself look good. And there's just as much pride in dressing down. There can be. All right, got that? There can be just as much pride in dressing down as there can be in dressing up. Now, let me just move along here. I'm just giving a synopsis from last week, so we're getting on the same page with things. As I ended last week, it was with what's the point in all of this? And it has to do with what I've already stated, and that is motive. Since God knows the heart and mind of man. Okay? God knows, you know, Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:7 says, man looketh on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. You know what else God looks on? He looks on your mind. What are you thinking? Okay? And so let's turn to some scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 2. These are scriptures relevant. These scriptures are relevant not just for tonight's subject, but they're relevant to most any subject that has to do with motive and attitude that an individual would have. So somebody needs to get another car. And as a matter of fact, it's a used car. It's 10 years used. But they got a good deal on that 10-year-old Lexus.
Oh boy.
Uh-huh, yeah, oh boy. Now, what's the crew that stands on the porch? Or what are the people that are going to leave the service after church and they're going to go out and they see X person get into his 10-year-old Lexus that he got for a better price than a 5-year-old Chevy? I can tell you what likely would be the attitude. Well, who does he think he is, man, driving a Lexus? Doesn't he know this is Black Creek? Maybe before a person thinks that way, they really ought to stop and consider what I just gave as the background of our imaginary person finding a very good deal on a 10-year-old Lexus, which probably the critic didn't bother to go look and see what the odometer's reading might be. Say, well, you can't see it. You need the key. Yeah. Well, let's just, for my illustration, point out that it's got 50,000 miles more than that Chevy that if that guy had spent $5,000 more to get my illustration Chevy with 50,000 more miles on it, if a person were to pull up in that, nobody'd blink an eye. As a matter of fact, they'd think he was being a good steward. When in reality, in the comparison that I'm giving here, he wouldn't be, would he? You see, folks, before we start judging each other, maybe we ought to stop and consider that we probably don't know everything involved. You say, you sound like you're a little huffed. Yeah, I am at the hypocrisy and shallowness of so many Christians who consider themselves so good. And then there's always the unsaved crowd who they definitely have got their feelings, because if that guy that pulled up is one of the leaders of the church, oh, there goes somebody's toy. If the person that pulled up were one of the leaders of the church, Well, that's going to add to this whole matter. Who's he think he is? Driving a Lexus. In light of my illustration, we'd say, well, I think he's probably a wiser person than the individual who just bought a 5-year newer, but 50,000 miles more Chevy. Mm-hmm. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge. God knows. God knows. The Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. So when a person dresses down to come to church because he doesn't want to be as braggartly as that guy who's always wearing a suit and tie, okay, seems to me that God knows his actions for dressing down. Okay? And the action for dressing down so that he wouldn't be like this other guy, well, that might fit under the arrogancy. Now, look at Psalm 26. Psalm 26. In Psalm 26, verse 1 and 2. Judge me, O Lord. You hear that? Did you hear what I read? They're going to let the Lord judge you. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Now here's the verse. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my reins and my heart. My reins. There's 15 places in the Bible, 14 of them in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, where this word reins is used. Looking up the background of it, it has to do with the kidney. All right, let's read it that way. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my kidneys. Oh, we got a medical checkup here. No, kidney has to do with the very inner being of man. That's how it's the reins is used, with the background of the word being kidneys. It's the very inner being. And what he's saying is, Lord, prove me. And try my inner being. You say, well, that's what the heart is. No, it's got to be something different. Because it says my reins and my heart. My heart has to do with the inner man, yes. But there's an additional aspect. So often when people say, well, my heart's right, they're meaning their emotions are right. It means their feelings are right. I've got a right feeling about this. That's seldom the way the word heart is used when you're reading it in the scriptures. Now, it does mean feelings at times, but in this case, he's saying, try my very most inner being and my heart, and it can also carry with it the idea of the mind. Try my mind and my heart. Move along. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And I endeavored to put all of these scriptures in the order that they are in the scriptures. Frequently when you're studying, you find a verse and then you find another one later and you jot it down in your notes. And then when you realize, when you're preaching along, wow, we're going from here to here to here to here, when really, like tonight, these can be in the sequence of how they're found in the Bible. It makes it a whole lot easier to look them up, doesn't it?
Yes.
It does for me. All right, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Yeah. So when you look at something, the way you think about something, that's the right way. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. So you see, our view of something, our understanding of something, doesn't necessarily or automatically, because it's the way we think, line up or stack up with God's way of seeing things. We just need to be aware of that. And get over this self-adulation that we have, that the way I think, the way I feel about something, that's the right way. Yeah, there are other ways. You can view things wrong if you want. That's our attitude a lot of times. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Then in Proverbs yet, let's go to chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. I'm looking at verse 2. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of a man... Wow, this sounds a whole lot like 16:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. So next time you're in a debate with somebody, next time you're in an argument with somebody about a subject, and they hold a view different than you do, obviously you're going to think your way's right. Who's going to say, well, this is a view I have, but I think it's wrong? Of course you're going to think your view is right. But we need to remember that it isn't just what we think is right that matters, but it's what God thinks. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Now's when we want to get into 1 Samuel 16:7, God looketh on the heart. Okay, you have your view on this subject. It might be a subject that comes up in a church business meeting. It might be a subject that comes up within your family. It might be a subject that just comes up at random within wherever of the congregation. What's the Lord think about this? And more so, as the Lord is pondering your heart, what is he seeing? What is he understanding? I'd have no way of knowing. I'm not God, but God is, and he can know. All right, keep your place in Proverbs 21. But I'm going to go to Luke 16. Luke chapter 16. And we're going to look at a verse here in Luke chapter 16. And what I'm looking at, Luke 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, referring here, no man can serve, verse 13, no man can serve two masters, will either hate the one or the other. And the Pharisees in verse 14 also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of the Lord. We want to make sure that the thoughts of our mind are not an abomination in the sight of the Lord. And that has to do with our, with not only our mind and how we're thinking, but with our attitude as we think it. Now back in Proverbs chapter 21, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Now we'll go to Ecclesiastes, which is right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes. One of these days, these new Bible pages will be old and they turn much better. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the very last verse of this last chapter. For God shall bring every work into judgment. With every, see now we say work, we're thinking of things we do. But God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. So it's now not just what we do, but it's what goes on inside of us. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, God is going to judge. Now, there may be a view, an opinion that we hold and we claim as ours, and it would be considered good, and it would be able to have the endorsement of God. That's wonderful. But we dare not assume that just because it's what we think, therefore it's what God would think. Because the ways of man and the ways of God are not always equal. Jeremiah. After the book of Isaiah comes Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17. Now, Taryn, that toy that's rolling around, is that yours? Oh, yeah. I know. I understand. I'm just it's Grandpa's. I'm just giving Taryn a hard time. Jeremiah chapter 17. And verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Because that's true, just because it's something we have in our heart doesn't mean that it's automatically okay. We have to get God's approval. Well, how do we get God's approval? Ta-da! Okay? Find out what God says on the subject. Find out what God says on the matter. You say, well, how in the world am I going to know that? That's why we keep urging you to keep reading your Bible. But probably there's some mature believer, knowledgeable in the Word of God, that you could go to and say, look, I am trying to find out thus and such. Can you help me know where in the Bible to look for that? And they'd be able to direct you. But you find out what God thinks about matters. Now you say, well, where are you going to find in the Bible about buying a Lexus or a Chevy? Well, you're not. But you might find out about it on the subject of managing your possessions before God. That comes under the term stewardship, because that's what stewardship is, managing. A steward, as defined in the Bible, is a manager of God's things. And so I have got to manage my mind. You see, you're not only accountable to God for the 10% that should go to Him, you're accountable for how you use the other 90% accountable to God. Just because you gave your 10% to God doesn't mean you can use the other 90% any way you want. You've got to use the other 90% in ways that are pleasing and honoring to God. Now, that's not hard to figure out. I got a responsibility to care for my family. I've got a responsibility to feed them, clothe them, house them, and I've got a responsibility to prepare for the future. I've got a responsibility to prepare for the medical needs that they have. It's not hard to figure out how we fulfill our responsibility for the other 90%, but it is prevalent among a big segment of the Christian church that their only responsibility is to give God 10%, and then the other 90% they can use any way they want. No, you can't use it any way you want. Yeah, well, I think you can. Okay, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do with my other 90%. I'm going to go down to Cuba to the convenience store and buy a bunch of lottery tickets. And I saw tonight, where was I today that I saw this? It was Walmart. I had to return an item, and I right there in the counter at the returns was a machine that you can buy your lottery card, and you can stick it in the machine, and it'll tell you if it's a winner or not. Cool. So I'm going to take $100 and go buy a bunch of lottery tickets and just stand there and keep sticking them in and see if I won or not. Would that disappoint you, maybe? Oh, well, not if you're buying lottery tickets, because then it would give you an approval to do that, because after all, the preacher bought $100 worth. He told us that. Folks, we're responsible to God for all of our living. All of our living. And so, Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. Okay, that's that inner being, that emotion, the soul of man, the motives of man. I try the reins. There's the reins again. And it has to do with that deeper inner meaning of man, by many referred to as the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, the Bible says in another place, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Have you ever considered that all of the rotten problems you're having in your life are because of what you've sowed? Amen. Have you ever considered that the difficulties that you're dealing with are because of reaping what you've sowed? Now please, I didn't say that everything that you're having trouble with is a result of reaping what you sowed. I said, have you ever considered that it might be? You have to go to God to find the answer. To give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I read one of pastor's posts on Pure Cambridge, and he pointed out that when we get saved, then we're instant. These aren't his words, okay? If you read it, it won't give us it. He read that? Okay. He said, you get saved, it isn't going to erase your tattoos. It isn't going to take the check that you wrote without funds in it 2 days before you got saved. It isn't going to keep that check from bouncing. That's the one that I thought was cool. Okay? It isn't going to keep it from bouncing. In other words, you're going to reap what you sow.
That's right.
So if you're short, curt, unkind, okay, yeah, not short, like. If you're impatient with people, if you are hard, if you're a grump, don't wonder why you don't have a lot of friendly people around you.
Kind and considerate.
Yeah, you ought to be kind and considerate, right. But the point is, we reap what we sow. One more scripture. 1 Corinthians And 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Now here again, the context, as verse 2 states, it is required in stewards, a manager, that a man be found faithful. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. So God is going to shed some light, shine some light on our living. And we may be able to make it all look good now, but there's coming a day when he's going to shine the flashlight that reveals things as they are. Chapter 16, same thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 14. I sum up all of these verses that deal with the mind and God knowing our mind as well as our heart. Let all your things be done with charity. Let all things be done with charity. Charity being the action of love. Don't just say you love. Have charity. Have actions that reveal love. And so, don't just say, well, I wear what I want to wear because God knows my heart. He also knows your mind. And he says, as you interact with other people, don't judge them any more than you would want them to judge you. But show charity. Father in heaven, thank you for your love and grace. And I certainly pray that you would help us, each one. Help me to live truth like we've lived that tonight. Thank you for that enabled in Jesus' name.